on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
7 to 11 at Sky Sports Radio. We're going On The Pace. Now, Greg Hayes is heading north because he's, when I say north, I'm talking real north to the Northern Hemisphere. Mick Garrett has come off the bench. We whacked the sulky on him and he's on the pace. Morning, Mick.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Big hi to everybody in New South Wales. I hope they're having a great morning. Of course, after the Winks trial today, well, if harness racing has anything like Winks, and there's nothing quite like Winks, it is, of course, Lazarus. Lazarus is making his US debut on Saturday morning. That's late Saturday morning, around 11:50 Sydney time, in the $325,000 Dan Patch out of Hoosier Park in Indiana. And our man is going to be there. Let's hear from Greg Hayes before he heads north.
Thanks, Mick. Yeah, look, really exciting. I'm just about to jump on a plane and head across to Indiana to watch Lazarus debut in the States at Hoosier Park in the Dan Patch. It's a $325,000 race this year. Of course, they've supplemented Lazarus. He's going to take on some of the best free-for-allers in North America. The race 12 months ago saw an absolute cracking event. Ron Burke had three runners in the race, and in the end it was one of his lesser lights that took out the race. But what are we going to see this year? They're not going to put it on for Lazarus. It's going to be a very tough race for him to win. But the good thing is, Connections obviously know or think that he's going well enough because it cost them $25,000 to get him into the race. So that's the good news. There's been a few little gear changes with him. He's obviously wearing a hood. Very strange. They've got an underdraw on him. I'm looking forward to getting it to a track work session just to have a close-up look at his gear. And hopefully I'll be able to report on that to Australia and also New Zealand once I do get to a track work session. So looking forward to being part of the team over there at Hoosier Park. Now, the race will be run at 9:50 local time on Friday night. Now, with the time difference, that will be 11:50 Saturday morning Sydney time. Now, that obviously is pressing pretty close to the time that the gallops will kick in on Saturday. But you will see it on Sky Racing, and you will hear it on Sky Racing Radio as well. So make sure you tune in for that. So that is Lazarus's debut performance in North America on Saturday, Sydney time at 11:50. You get to see Lazarus taking on the best free-for-allers in North America. And, of course, he's over in the States getting ready for a stud career. To be commercial in the US, he's going to have to run a time and he's going to have to beat their best. Hoosier Park track, very similar to Menangle, 1,400-metre track. The track record held by Sweet Lou. In 147 and change, he's probably, I don't think that's in any sort of danger on Friday night over there. But, you know, Mark Curtin's pretty confident that in time and under the right conditions, he can get down and run 146s. I don't think we have to worry about that. But it's going to be good to be there on Friday night in Indiana just to see what he can do. So make sure you tune in and watch the former New Zealand pacer, now North American, Lazarus, perform in the Dan Patch on Saturday and see just what he can do against the best of the free-for-allers in North America. And you can, of course, catch it here on Sky. Thanks, Mick.
There you go, Mick. It'll be exciting.
Good flights there for Hazy and safe travels to America. Great to have that Sean coming in around about 11:50. Hazy on team with the Tart. On track with the team from Hoosier Park. And well, the man who trained Lazarus for his entire down under career, Mark Curtin, will join us shortly. He has two runners of his own and one extra drive at Menangle today. And spoke to Yannick Gingra this morning, who will drive Lazarus in that race. He was third, driving a horse called Filibuster Hanover in the major free for all on Hambletonian Day on Saturday. And he said, look, had Lazarus been in that race, he would have gone very close to winning. So Yannick Gingra, who is the leading driver at the Meadowlands, heads to Indiana this week, and he is adamant that the best version of Lazarus can be the best free-for-all in North America. And then that reportedly $4 million purchase fee could turn out to be value for money if he could become one of Harness Racing's, from this end's, first dual hemisphere stallion. So pretty exciting time, 11:50 on Sky Sport Radio on Saturday.
Good on you, Mick. Now, Jason Lee joins you.
Jason, great to have you here on Sky Sport Radio, Jason, but not the circumstances you would have wanted. Sadly, your champion pacer, Jillamy Kung Fu, it sounds like he's out for the year. What's happened there, mate?
Yeah, he's going to miss there, Mick. Extremely disappointing, and we all know how hard it is to get a horse anywhere near his sort of ability. So he's just got a slight hole in his tendon, and we all sort of know how difficult tendons can be. So, even though it's not a big hole or anything like that, it's definitely his season and year gone.
Jason, it could be disappointing for you and for Marg and the rest of the team with Jillaby Kung Fu. There will be some people who say, hey, look, these 146.9 miles, like he was involved in the Miracle Mile, are too hard on these horses, and you're seeing the effects of that now. He has actually raced since then and raced well, so clearly that's not the issue. It's just one of those things, living with horses, this is going to happen to you from time to time.
Yeah, I probably disagree with the mile being the reason for, a few horses going amiss. Most of them went on and raced after that. Myfield Marshall, in my opinion, ran some of his best races after that when he was three wide the entire and winning races. And we looked out for Good Soho Tribeca come back for a start, and a couple of the others got sold, and Tiger Tara is obviously back. So, I completely disagree that obviously it was a brutally run Miracle Mile, but horses aren't that far off that time most of the year, and it's just probably a coincidence that all these things have sort of bubbled up and a few of them are going to miss. He went and raced well after it, and it only just flared up just the other day. So until then, he'd had no issues.
Jason, what is the prognosis and how long is the best case scenario of Jillaby Kung Fu being away from the track?
He's probably best case scenario, he's looking at probably 8 to 12 months to be back racing. We all know how long it is with rehab, and he'll begin rehab in a couple of weeks. He's only got to have a couple of weeks box rest, and he's been put on a program now through the Ballarat Veterinary Clinic, and it's not a massive hole, but a hole's a hole, and he's obviously now on the road to rehab and recovery, and he's probably looking at 8 to 12 months.
Mate, what does it leave the family operation there at Jillaby? What does it leave you with to press forward to the Breeders' Crown, which is becoming very, very late in the season? And I think a lot of trainers are starting to see horses who aren't going to get the Breeders' Crowns. What does it leave the family with going there?
Yeah, it's a long season, and to be honest, we haven't got much left at all for the Breeders' Crown. Seems to be this time of year we always have a bit of trouble with horses getting crook and ill, and it's a tough time of year, especially down here where we are, to try and train horses for good races and keep them healthy. So we've got Jillaby Bandit that'll be left for the four-year-olds, and he's probably the main charge. There's a couple others going around in heaps, but to be honest, they're probably just sort of making up the numbers and hopefully getting into those constellation races. So Jillaby Chevy, he went amiss. He was probably aimed at the Breeders' Crown too, but we decided to tip him out after the sires when he fibulated and try and get him back and maybe have him going around the Inter-Dominion time and some good races then. And, if he was going well enough and got through his grades and was ranked high enough, maybe he could sneak into the Inter-Dominion with two, maybe Jillaby Bandit. They're both nice horses, but there's plenty of horses left here. It's just hard to find another Jillaby Kung Fu.
Talking about that, we've seen Soho Tribeca suffer an injury. Obviously, Vincent's been retired. Lazarus has been sold to the US, and there's the retirement of Lenny the Shark. You know these horses. You've driven against them. Who, in your mind, is the best horse in Australasia, and who should be favourite for that Inter-Dominion, as much as you would love it to be Jillaby Kung Fu, and he's not going to be there?
Yeah, to be honest, it opens right up now, and it's really anyone's race. Obviously, Chicago Bulls, probably the best-performed one left, but I have to really lean towards Kev and Grant with their two really good mares. I reckon that they really do come to the fore now that they've got to get through and stay sound. But I reckon they're a really good chance, and they're probably paying pretty well too. So our Golden Goddess and the way she's been going is just super. And then we all know that the other mare loves the trip and what she can do. So Amaretto and our Golden Goddess, I reckon, are two probably good chances now in the Inter-Dominion if they did happen to go that way.
Jason, that wasn't the reason you wanted to be coming on the show this morning, mate. We appreciate your time. Commiserations to the family. We are hoping the horse, who we know so close to winning the Miracle Mile back in February, makes it back there. If not next year, the year after.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers. Good on you, guys.
Yeah, disappointing news there for the team with, of course, Jillaby Kung Fu. With horses who have gone by the wayside this calendar year. Well, it starts like this. Vincent was the first one, broke down on the way to the Ballarat Cup. The horse who won the Ballarat Cup, Heaven Rocks, was sold soon after to the US. Of course, we had Lenny the Shark was retired recently. In between all that, Lazarus, as you heard from Greg Hayes earlier, sold for the huge money off to the US. Then Hector JJ returned to the track, and everybody thought, well, there could be a new king. That lasted one start. Hector JJ not out for the season, Sean, but he's at least sidelined for now. And all of a sudden, these markets are in total confusion because Chicago Bull, who now heads the markets for the Victoria Cup, the Inter-Dominion, and is second favourite for the New Zealand Cup in between and expected to go to the race, hasn't raced outside of WA since he got to Australia. So the bookies and the punters all a little bit confused as they count down to the major races, which have had so many setbacks in the last 3 or 4 months.
Now, Mark Purton joins you, Mick.
Mark, glad you to join us. Talking just quickly before Lazarus, before we discuss Benangle today, must be exciting for you and for Natalie to see the big fella racing up there in the US on Saturday afternoon. Will you get the chance to tune in and watch him?
Yes, yeah, no, we're really looking forward to it, Mick. And, you know, reports from Jimmy have been pretty positive and he's very, very happy with them. So, no, I can't wait.
Okay, let's talk about Menangle today. You bring 2 Breeders' Crown horses, 2 Harness Jewels winners to Menangle on a quiet Tuesday afternoon. The Breeders' Crown is in Victoria. Why are these horses in Sydney?
Just the logistics, Mick. We can fly out of Christchurch directly into Sydney where we haven't got the same facility available to us to fly to Melbourne. So we land in Sydney, which of course, takes away the float trip from Christchurch to Auckland. And from here, we've got a float trip naturally down to Victoria just when they're ready.
Okay, Princess Tiffany starts in race 3 at Menangle today. We'll get back later to talk about your drive in race 1. She's unbeaten. Her win in the Harness Jewels was exceptional. Mark, that was 2 months ago. How do you slow a horse's campaign down, then bring them back up for this very late Breeders' Crown? And is Princess Tiffany one of those horses who's handled that well?
Yes, yeah, I'm sort of happy with both the two-year-olds, Mick, but on Princess Tiffany, we sent her back to her owner, Braden Whitelock, and he's got a lovely dairy farm down there in Palmerston after the Jewels, and she had about a week down there before she made the further trek south to Christchurch. So, you know, from there, she's actually had a nice build-up going into this race today, and she had a walkover in the heat of the Breeders' Crown, and then we gave her a nice trial, which you really impressed me in. So today's just another tightener just going into those semi-finals.
There appear to be horses like Regulus in the race, Mark, who have already gone 155, so she might have to go that quick to win this afternoon in race 3. Can she do that?
Oh, yes, she's capable of that sort of speed. She wouldn't be far off the colt, I wouldn't think. So, although, you know, she should probably benefit from the run today, I still think she's probably a winner.
Okay, race 4, you bring your Harness Jewels 2-year-old male pacer winner. I'm another masterpiece, and he's up against the maiden, so some of the older horses, including Gentle Giant, who you trained to win back in October at Ashburton. How would you rate him against Gentle Giant? So that'll give you a nice form reference, because he looks one of those totally professional 2-year-olds.
Yes, yeah, he's had a great season, Mick, and a great build-up too to his start today. He's Reports from Poi that he's very, very well, but, you know, almost on the point where he just needs to run just to take a little bit of the stuffing out of him. He said he's too full of himself. So today, it's probably not an overstrong field, really, Mick, and, you know, just hopefully he just behaves himself and doesn't do anything silly and gets out there and rolls on to the top and will be too good for them.
Mark, you would expect both horses to win?
Yes, yeah. There's a couple of good formed horses in with the filly, but, you know, I don't think she's behind the colts. So, you know, they'd want to be pretty smart to beat her today.
Mark, in race one today, you drive a trotter called Showgate, who is also heading to the Breeders' Crown for young Regan Todd from the Canterbury region. Of course, it's partly owned by Cheryl Rasmussen, Natalie's mother. What sort of horse is she? Because she is a horse that the Australians won't know much about. Her form is not as, you know, diverse and as impressive as your two paces, but she seems to be a very quick horse over 800 metres.
Yes, we bought her at the sales and she had a few little minor issues and hence that was the reason we sent her out to Regan on the beach there to try and help her, and Regan's done a great job with her, but always liked her, and I've just had one drive on her at the trials for Regan, but she went nice that day, and Regan's happy with how she's got over here and how well she's done. So you think she'd be pretty hard today, Mick.
Okay, Mark, just looking forward, as we spoke earlier to Jason Lee about some of these major races coming up, you have the favourite for the New Zealand Cup in Ultimate Machete. He occasionally last season struggled with back-to-back racing because he has, I know, the occasional hoof issue. What's the likelihood of him turning up in Victoria for the Inter-Dominions and those four runs in a fortnight?
Look, our focus really is at the moment on the New Zealand Cup, Mick. But I'm just lukewarm with him on a series like the Inter-Dominion. I'd just rather perhaps just set him for a race than give him three runs in a week. I don't think really that would suit him.
So, Mark, that being the case, what's your most likely Inter-Dominion aspirant?
Look, the Fix is a tough horse. He's probably just needs to step up and just show that he's up in that calibre, though. But he'll be aimed at the New Zealand Cup, and that'll soon tell us the road he takes to get there, whether he's up with them or not. But he'd be one, he'd probably be our best chance anyway.
Mark, congratulations on a great season in New Zealand. Of course, that finished about a week ago. Good luck at Menangle this afternoon. Nice to see you brightening up the program there and heading forward, of course, to the Breeders' Crown down there in Victoria.
Good. Thanks, Mark.
So Mark Purden there heads to Menangle on a quiet Tuesday afternoon with two Harness Jewels winners. Princess Tiffany will start in race three, very, very short on tab.com.au, and confidence there for Mark. And another same thing with another masterpiece in the fourth on the card. Could be worth adding to your multi-bets. Also, he'll drive Showgate, who won the Sales Series Trot in New Zealand. She's up against older opponents, but it's a good standing start horse. And the first on the card coming out of Menangle today. So Menangle looking to have three short-priced Kiwi Raiders as they use Sydney as a stopover on the way to Victoria. Talking about the Breeders' Crown, it kicks off tonight, the Victorian Heats for the girls, kicking off our back-to-back racing three nights in a row, and shortly Chris Alford is going to join us to discuss the chances of some of his major drives at the Breeders' Crown. One of them potentially is already gone, though, and Nostra Villa, who won the two-year-old pacing fillies last season. Emma Stewart notifying us last night she won't be contesting or defending her crown on the three-year-old fillies this year because Nostra Villa, just the aches and pains that come with racing at the highest level for the season have got to her. And Sean, she's headed to the paddock, So no Nostra Villa for the Breeders' Crown, which is, these days being so late in the season, seems to be missing more and more horses every season as the racing gets faster and harder.
Now, I think Chris might have headed for the paddock too. We're trying to track him down for you, Mick. I was just thinking back when you had Mark Purden on. Have you struck a stable with a strike rate like his for a long time? I mean, I was thinking back to the days of the Knight stable. They were phenomenal with the horses. You get certain stables have runs, don't you? But Purden and Rasmussen, just unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable because they win more money than any galloping stable in New Zealand. But the most incredible thing is, they are the one stable who can travel horses to either country with enormous success. They are horses. Now, this year they had a bit of a blip on the radar. They had a virus through the team in Sydney, but they still won two Group 1 races on Inter Dominion Grand Final night. Inter Dominion with Lazarus, of course. Also, Ultimate Machete won the 4-year-old Golden Nugget. They then travelled the horses back to Victoria. Heaven Rocks won the Ballarat Cup. Lazarus won, of course, the Hunter Cup. So what they've been able to do for the last 10 years is travel their horses. Now, a lot of trainers can't do that. Even after Darren Weir's incredible year at the Gallops, he sent a horse to New Zealand for the New Zealand Derby, and the horse underperformed. It's incredibly difficult to travel to other countries. You need staff. You need the right facilities. You need to do it a few times and make a few mistakes. Mark Purden's been doing it for such a long period of time that his strike rate in Australia is absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, he brings his best horses to Australia, so therefore, you're aided in that regard. But there wouldn't be a better travelling stable in Australasia for either code, probably because obviously the Australian galloping trainers don't need to travel. They can stay in Sydney, they can stay in Melbourne and make that huge money. There's not much of a reason to go to the West Coast unless you've got those horses who are just below the best Group 1 level. So probably of all the things he's achieved is the ability to basically have horses racing as well at Addington, which is 15 kilometres from his front step, as he does have racing in Perth, which is 5,500 kilometres away.
It's a big effort, isn't it, to cart him from, well, not just from one side of the cut to the other, but from New Zealand to Australia, then to Perth, those sort of efforts, incredible. They just said they must just have it down spot on.
It's an incredibly difficult place to travel, so that's probably the thing he does better than anybody else, but of course, he's going to have a smaller team than usual. Just the two runners now for the Breeders' Crown and the drive on Showgate and all of those horses on show today at Menangle.
Now, we're going to look forward to this where Hazy is in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm a bit envious of him, aren't you?
Mate, I'm actually going up there for a latter race on the card. I've actually got a few commitments. I thought about going to Hoosier Park. I thought, I want to go see the horse in training. So I'm going to go to Jimmy Tactus' property and see the horse. And his property is very similar to Mark Purden's. They have a straight track, they have a sand track, and they have a normal track. And a lot of trainers, you know, have their views on the merits of a straight track. Obviously, if you could work on the straight, it doesn't have those problems with their pressure on their legs and their joints running around bends. So I'll be interested to see how he's trained up there. They had their major race day, the Hambletonium, on Saturday. And the man who drives Lazarus this Saturday morning or Friday night for their time in Indiana, Yannick Gingra, drove the winner of the Hambletonian Oaks, and he's actually driven about 5 years in a row. When I spoke to him this morning, he was excited about Lazarus. He said, look, this is what you grow up dreaming about. You dream of driving these horses from a foreign land who people think are champions and seeing how good they are. So here's a guy who is the leading driver at the Meadowlands, and you could tell from the excitement in his voice. And I suppose it would be like if a Hugh Bowman or a James McDonald, Sean, jumped on a leading horse from Japan or a leading horse from Europe came out. You know, Craig Williams does it most years, Kieran McAvoy. You're excited because it's something different from what you know, and that's the case up there in North America. Just talking about tonight's Breeders' Crown, obviously there's some heats coming out of Victoria. I spoke to Emma Stewart last night. She just gave you punters a rundown. She said that Kualoa, there's a heat tonight in Victoria where Kualoa and Two Times Better are up against each other. They are stable mates. She wanted me to tell the punters Kualoa is definitely a better chance, not only of winning its heat tonight coming out of Victoria, but also of winning the final. And she said if the punters there have one horse to follow through the Breeders' Crown, who I think can win at decent money, Hard Hitter, who won one of the Breeders' Crown races at Menangle. It's $10 in most markets to win the 2-year-old boys' pacing final. She said, if he gets the lead, he's going to be awfully hard to beat. So that's potentially one to follow on tab.com.au. Hard Hitter, those Breeders' Crown markets are open. He will race on Wednesday night. And then I said to Emma, what's your absolute best chance of winning a Breeders' Crown? Out of all the Breeders' Crown races, 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds, what's your best chance of winning? She said, Speak No Evil, who is favourite for the 3-year-old fillies. There is no New Zealand representative in that grade, so obviously nothing from the Mark Purden barn. It's $3, Sean, with tab.com.au. Speak No Evil. Contests the heat, I think it's on Thursday night this week. It could go around on the final and $2, particularly with Nostra Villa coming out. So for punters looking for an early gamble, I think Speak No Evil at $3 is the best thing of the Breeders' Crown, and Hard Hitter from the Emma Stewart stable could be the value around the $10 mark.
Now, Mick, is Kieran Manning going to Sweden for a drive?
Yes, she is. Now, Kieran Manning went there 21 years ago when she was very much a young smith of a thing, as they say. And look, she raced down with Knight Pistol in some of the feature races over there, and she won the Oslo Grand Prix trotting race. And she's going back. She's been invited back by the Swedes, and I've said, we want to have these celebrity races where these drivers from all around the world come. And when you go to Sweden, people ask you about Kieran Manning because she made such an impression on them. Young female from Australia, great smile, happy, pleasant person. They've invited her back, and she gets to drive against some of the leading drivers in Sweden, some of whom don't drive in races anymore. They're just going there for this sort of celebrity, sort of Hall of Fame drivers thing. So Kieran said this weekend, look, I wasn't going to go because we've got so much work on at home, but her husband, Grant Campbell, said, look, get on the plane, get over there and enjoy yourself. So Kieran Manning heading back to Sweden, probably for one drive. She might pick up a couple of spares, probably one drive for the weekend, Sean, and reliving those glamour days, although for her, I've never stopped. Of course, she's had good horses right the way through in the last 20 years since she was last in Sweden.
Yep, too right. Mick, good to have you this morning on the pace. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sean, it's always a pleasure, mate. Good luck to everybody having a punt today. Don't forget those early races at Menangle have more firepower than usual with Showgate, Princess Tiffany, and another masterpiece.
Good on you, Mick Guerin, jumping off the bench there for Greg Hayes, who's heading north into the Northern Hemisphere.